So I think we got to the very last line of Lamed Zayin Mabez. The Gemara had a brisa, a bunch of statements of examples of Iter Sofrim. So we're up to the last line again, Mechasim Velo Karyon. Certain things are written in the Torah, but not necessarily, or the Tanakh is written, but it's not getting...
That's what I'm hearing, not there.
So there's certain things that are actually written in the Tanakh, but below Kari, but are not actually read. So the Gemara is going to list, I'm assuming all of them, if not just some of them, the word na in the word diyislach. So I have the side here, the Pasuk in Melachim Beis tells me, Bishtacha Vayasi Beis Rimon Yislach, the word, it says na, but we omit that, Hashem Lavdecha Badavar Hazeb. That word is written but not read. Next example is Zos in the Pasuk of Deha Mitzvah. The Pasuk here is in the, looks like Parshas Dvar, maybe it's Vaschanan already. The Zos HaMitzvah Chukim HaMishpatim. So the word Zos is not read. Really? Is that the truth?
Why do you give the Pasuk Zot HaMitzvah?
Yeah, we don't say it.
The first says it's in the Yirmiyah.
The Ran says Zos HaMitzvah B'Seder V'Eschan on the top Ran on the page here in Lamed Ches Kach Matasi Kasev V'Lo Nimtza B'Sfarim Shelanu. It's not found in his. I don't believe this is what we do. Right. The Tosfos writes here, you see this, Parshas Veschanam, Veino Kach B'Shem Chumash. We don't have such a thing. So the Rashi found Mefarsh found the Pasuk Yirmiyah. I'm clearly not holding in Yirmiyah or any other part of Tanakh. The Hagos Marilanda has a footnote on this Rashi, and he says Sarach Lomar es Hanefesh Ksubi Yirmiyah. It's a different word. The word Nefesh really appears in Yirmiyah, but that's one that's supposed to be omitted, not the word Zos and not Parshas Veschanan. We don't have that practice. The next example is Yidroch, again also found in Yirmiyah, De Hadorich and the Pasuk Dorich. The Pasuk reads Al Yidroch, and then the word the Yidroch shouldn't be mentioned, Hadorich Kashto. Next example is Chamesh appearing in the Pasuk in Yechezkel of the Pasuk, the Pas Negev, and the full Pasuk is Pas Negev Chamesh, and the word Chamesh is omitted, Meos Varbaos Alafim.
Well, we all started with that, I'm sorry.
We had a whole list of certain things of Mikra Sofrim, Iter Sofrim, but based on that Drasha, that Pisuk Tamim, that the Trup, the what do they call it, cantation, what's the word, right?
Tamim.
Tamim, that is a halach mosh b'sinai, and we had a drasha for this. So the drasha, there are other things that are also halach mosh b'sinai, so we're now going to give examples of those types of things. So the Gemara says the next one is the word im, that's found in the pasuk dechi goel, and the whole pasuk reads vata ki amnam ki im. So the word ki is omitted, goel anochi. Halein ksivin of lokarin. These are the ones that are written but not supposed to be read. Says a Gemara further now. Amar, I have a different gears here on the side here. Amar v'acha bar ada b'marava in the west in Eretz Yisrael, paskin lahadein psuka letzlasa psukim. They would divide the following pasuk in three psukim. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe hinei nochi b'alecha b'av ha'anon. That was broke up into three psukim. I'm not sure why this is here now, but I guess other types of mesorahs that they had. There's no Ran here, or there's no Rashi either that comments on this. We don't have that custom, but in Eretz Yisrael, that was apparently the custom. There's no Rush, no nothing. Oh, here we go. There's a Rush here. Oh, it doesn't really say much. Okay, next thing the Gemara says is, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Lo Heshir Moshe Ela Mipsuloson Shel Luchas. This is fascinating. That Moshe Benu became wealthy through the Psulas and Shaluchos. What happened? The second Luchos, the Gemara says, Psal Luchos Shnei Luchos Avanim Karishonim Psulas and Shelchayeh. We know that the first Luchos were handed down to Moshe Rabbeinu. They were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they given to him. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Egel Azav and shattered the Luchos. Second time he went back up, asked for Tshuva. Second time he round, he said, this time you're going to chisel out the Luchos. He sat there chiseling. So from all that which was removed from these stones, Moshe Rabbeinu must have been some valuable stone. It wasn't just a rock, diamonds or gold or something. It was enough to make him very, very wealthy. That's what it means. Again, psal lecha, that all the psulasan should be for your keeping.
You went up three times, right?
Yeah, three times, yeah. Actually, more times in the conversation, there's a whole dialogue before Kabbalah Torah, back and forth, but in terms of staying there 40 days, right? Okay, right. We're about to begin the period soon. Shabbat Sefer Tammuz is when the first luchos were broken. This coming Shabbat is Shabbat Sefer Tammuz.
So meaning, so he went 40 days before Shabbat Sefer Tammuz?
He went for 40 days before, from... He went on Shavuos. He went to receive the Torah. He was there for 40 days learning. Came down in Shabbat Sefer Tammuz.
Shavuos? When was Shavuos?
Sivan. Vav Sivan.
So we're not in Shavuot yet.
No, so 40 days later, he was up. He went up Har Sinai Shavuos. He was there for 40 days, which ends up being Shabbat Sefer Tammuz.
Shabbat
Tammuz
is now.
Right, 40 days after Shavuos. So he's there for 40 days on Har Sinai. Yeah. Fine. So he broke it. Then he went for another 40 days until the whole tshuva. Then went up 40 days until Rosh Chodesh Elul.
No, when did he went up again?
He went back up, I think, the same day.
Oh, Shabbat
the same day? Around the same day or so, because then we have all Tisha B'Av, all Av is 30 days. So 10 May, he went 3 days later or so, 10 days of Tammuz, 30 days of Elul. At least, right, and that's 40, and then went back up. Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then that's for tshuva. And Rosh Chodesh Elul, he went up to Yom Kippur for another 40 days, came back in Yom Kippur for the second luchos. Right. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Lo nisa Torah Elul Moshe ulizaro. The Torah was given exclusively to Moshe and all his ancestors, or his children. Shenamar ksav lecha, psal lecha. Write it for you and chisel it out for you. Ma psulasan shelcha, af ksavan shelcha. Just like the psolas, we says before you, also the writing, ksav lecha, is also exclusively for you and all your descendants. So then the Gemara says, I'm trying to see any in Ron to read along the way here. If you see anything, point it out to me. Then the Gemara says, Moshe Nagba Tovas Ayin V'Nasa LiYisrael. Moshe had his way of being was Tovas Ayin, had a good way of looking at things. Now Tovas Ayin can be interpreted a number of different ways. I'm looking on the side here how they interpret it. Yes. Not really saying anything. Tovas Ayin could be just looking always positively. It could also be referring to giving a lot, being very generous. Any definitions in the article? Say again?
And dal.
Yeah, poor. They're not really defining what Tovas Ayin means. He was a positive thinker, something like that. So the Gemara says of Allah Hakasav Omer, and about Moshe it said, Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach, says the Pasuk. So he was full of Tov Ayin, and he gave that Mida over to Klai Yisrael. Mesiv Rav Chista, Rav Chista asks, quotes another Pasuk, Vosi Tziva Hashem Beisahili Lamed Eschem, and at that time Hashem commanded me to teach you, Vosi Tziva Vani Lachem, to me commanded, and I am supposed to teach you. And the pasuk further says, "Re'ei lemarati etchem chukim mishpatim kasher tivani Hashem elokai osi tiva vani lachem." And see that I taught you like a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to. Va'ata kisru lachem et hashira zos. And then now you should go ahead, Klai Yisrael should go ahead and write this shira. Hashir luchudei. So what's the question here? Hashir. Let's read a little further here. Hashir luchudei lemanti ali hashira zos lad bivnei Yisrael. So what's going on here? That's the point. I see what's going on here. Okay. Let's backtrack for a second. The Tovas Hana, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah Lecha. What was the Tovas Ayin? That he was willing to give the Torah to Klai Yisrael. That was the Tovas Ayin. Not in a general media like I was initially saying. The fact that Torah was given Ksav Lecha, Psul Lecha, it was only to Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else had the right to it. But yet he had a Tovas Ayin and handed it down to Klai Yisrael. Now in light of that was really Moshe's willingness to give over the Torah. The Gemara is trying to prove it wasn't really his willingness. Let's go back again to Mesiv Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, V'osi tziva Hashem beisahi l'lamed eschem. Hashem commanded me to give it to you. It wasn't my willingness, says Moshe. It wasn't that he had a Tovas Ayin. He was commanded to give it. So you can't call Moshe Rabbeinu Tovas Ayin. He was following a command. So the Gemara says, V'osi tziva. So what it means to say that I was commanded the Torah. And then, V'ani lechem. And then I gave to you. I wanted to give to you. That's how the Gemara is reinterpreting this. That it was really his Tovas Ayin. It wasn't a Moshe. It wasn't, he wasn't commanded to give the Torah to Klai Yisrael. The next pasuk says, "Okay, re'ei l'mati etchem chukim mishpatim kasher tivanu Hashem elokai." That Hashem, I taught you like Hashem commanded me to. So we see that he was commanded to teach the Torah.
Or not.
Gemara says, no. Oh, see, tziva, I was commanded, period. Vani elachem. And then I decided on my own to give to you. Okay? Then the Gemara says, Vata kisru lachem es hashir azos. Now you, Klai Yisrael, should write, I want to teach you, I'm commanded to teach you how to write the Torah. This is the source of everyone has to write their own Sefer Torah. So that I'm commanded. So Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly commanded to teach them the Torah. So hashir luchuda. So he was only commanded to teach him the Shira, but the rest of the Torah he wasn't commanded. Now, which Shira are you referring to? Parshas Hazino, I guess. Yeah. Right, okay. Fine. Then the Gemara asks further, Laman Tiali Hashira Zos Lad Bivnei Yisrael. The Pasuk says that in order for me to have the Shira to pass on to Bnei Yisrael, so you see, I was commanded. So the Gemara says, Ella Pilpula Be'alma. So interesting. So Moshe Rabbeinu in Echanami was commanded to give the Torah. What he wasn't commanded to do, but what he did willingly with the Torah's eye was pilpul. So what exactly is pilpul? So feel around halfway down the narrow lines, Iran says pilpula ba'alma nasan lo Moshe v'hu nahag ba Torah's eye in Israel. It doesn't define what pilpul is. Does the Mefarsh say pilpula? Right. Right. The Rosh says, let's see. Rashi is what David said, similar to what David said, Pupula Ba'alma, Havana, an understanding, Charisfus, sharpness, Behainu, Ksav, Lan, Shelcha. That so means the writing is for you, the analysis is handed to you. Kichol HaChachma Vasecha, Remuzim, Biksav, HaTorah, Betsuros, HaOsios. All the depth of everything and that's going to be taught and learned is all really hidden within each of the letters, the shapes and whatnot. That was what was passed on to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he decided on his own to also hand it down to Klai Yisrael. Yeah, the Tosa also along the same lines. The Rashi has a different approach. Rashi says, "Pupula ba'alma lahavin davar mitoch davar hu denitzin l'moshev v'nahag ba'tovas ayin v'nasal yisrael." Just the ability to analyze, to distinguish, to compare and contrast, that's what the Rashi defines pupula, as opposed to the Rush was kind of finding the source, that everything's hinted, the sources are in the deep letters and the tagging on top of the osios. That seems to be what the Rush is saying. Slightly different.
I mean, the Rush seems to be coming because he still wants to interpret Sa'av l'cha. He's still trusting Sa'av l'cha.
Very good. So in the actual osios, everything's hidden there.
That's where we got the...
Very good. That's pshat. Okay. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halfway down the page, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishra Shechinaso Ela Al Gibor V'Asher V'Chacham V'Anov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Shora, he only rests the Shechina on the one who is strong, one who is rich, one who is wise, and one who is humble. These four attributes. V'Chulim Moshe, we learn them all from Moshe Rabbeinu. Gibor, how do we know he was so strong? The pasuk tells us by the Mishkan, and the pasuk says, "Vayifrosh es ha'ol al ha'mishkan," that he had spread the tent, the various cloths on top of the Mishkan. The Amar Mar, and we're taught the Moshe Benu Parso, the Moshe Benu himself, excuse me, was the one who did the spreading of the. What's he adding? Is that Pashup Shad of the Gemara, the pasuk?
No, meaning that him himself, he must be Gibor, because it was Tenamot high.
Well, that's what I was going to continue to say, but I thought Pasha Pshat here is that he was doing it. Is that how you say interpret by Yifrosh in the singular?
He did it.
Right, I'm saying, what's being added by Amar Mar Moshe Benu Parsu? Isn't that exactly what the Pasuk had said?
Say that it was Moshe
in the Pasuk?
I think we...
Just by Yifrosh. Who else would it be? Bitalo, maybe?
It was under his guidance.
Okay, so he was overseeing it, or maybe Batala would have done it. So just to make sure that's not the case, the statement tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the one who separated, who spread the Ohel over the Mishkan. The Kisakasavin is written further, Esther Amos Or HaKeresh, and each of the beams, each of the walls, were 10 Amos high. So how in the world was Moshe Rabbeinu able to do this? If 10 Amos is, let's take a smaller scale, so it could be 8 feet tall, right? If you take 1.5 feet, some say it's almost 2 feet, but let's say 1.5 feet. So we're talking about 8.5 feet, or 7.5 feet, really.
He was 7 amos.
So, he wasn't. He said 7.5 amos. Let's say the smallest shear. It's possible he could have stood up and his tippy toes and stretched his hand out and touched the top of it.
Why was the problem? He was that high.
No, I'm saying how tall was that? Okay, let's see. So the Gemara says, so how do we prove that he's a Gibor here? He could have been just very tall.
No, the Gibor was not, meaning he was strong.
He was big.
He was big, right?
So that's how the Ran says. The Ran says, the Ksiv Eser Amos Erech HaKeresh, Ama Moshe Gavoa Eser Amos Haya. He was 10 Amos high, the Chemin Shaya Gadol Kokach, Mistama Gibor Haya. Mistama, he was also strong. A big guy is a strong guy.
15 foot.
Well, so I'm trying to figure out, is that really true? I mean, you could reach the top. I could touch 7 feet high on my tippy toes, probably. Is that possible? Yeah, I could probably touch 7 feet.
Probably.
He does. But so he could touch. So if you do the math, 10 amos, it's possible that he was able to also be my height and touch 7 amos. 7 feet, I'm
but
saying.
Ten amos.
Ten amos. Each amos is 1.5 feet, let's say.
Okay, so 10 times 1.5 is 15.
Seven and a half. No.
1.5.
Oh, each one is. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm wrong. Yeah, you're right. So 15. So he must have been 10 amos high. And at least 10 amos high. Okay, yeah, you're right. Then he spread it over. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Ema de'arich v'katan. So maybe Rashi says, Ra'an says, Arich v'katan, Arich v'koma v'katan v'koach. Maybe he was tall and this, lanky. We have many basketball players. They were, maybe I'm not sure anymore. I know Manute Bol was one that comes to my mind. Was 7'7", tall, skinny guy. He wasn't very strong, but he was tall. Yeah, guys who are tall and skinny, so maybe he was tall and skinny. So Ela min adinkra, from this pasuk is the source that Moshe Rabbeinu was very strong. Dichsiv ve'espos ve'etpos b'shnei aluchos v'ashlochem mi'al shei yadai v'ashperim. Moshe Rabbeinu came down, and again this week Shivas Amar Talmud, he was holding on to the shnei aluchos and he threw them down from his hand and he broke them. Okay, so how does it teach us that he was strong? Satan, the Bryce says, Haluchos Archon Shisha, there are 6 Tvachim wide, Barachwan Shisha, and there are 6 Tvachim wide, the area, square footage was 6x6, V'avian Shlosha, and it was a Shlosha, sorry, 13 Tvachim thick, so it was, I guess, 4x4, and then the depth like this, right? 6 high, rather,
Zevi.
And 6 wide, and then 13, so it's pretty, pretty big, these big blocks of stone. They're doing some of the math. I guess it's 6 tvachim is each half is around 4 inches. That's around 2 feet this way, and 2 feet this way, and then the depth gesundheit. It's 13 times 4. It's 52. There's another 4 feet that way. So it's like this, and it's a big block. So he's carrying two of them. Remember, he's carrying these two. There's stone. So it's probably just to get an image here. It's probably around, let's say, like this amount. This is probably only 3 feet, but like a block this high. He's carrying, like this high, going down to the floor, and two of them in his hand, coming down and just throws them down the mountain. And throwing, I guess, not such a hard thing once you're going down with the slope. The fact that he was carrying them shows that Moshe Rabbeinu was quite strong. Then the Gemara says, "Psal lecha, psulasan shelcha yehi chacham." I misread it. So Shlosha, not Asher. Shlosha. It was only 3 tvachim. So it's still big enough. Okay. Asher, how do you know he's rich? Psalacha, psulasan shacha, yehe. As we saw above, that all what he chiseled out was going to be for his keeping, and therefore he became rich. Chacham, how do you know he's wise? So Rav Shmuel, Amri Tiraya, both of them said that Chamishim Shari Bina Nivru Bolam. There were 15 gates of Bina, of some type of wisdom, and Kulam Nasal Moshe Chaser Achas. And all but one, 49 of these Shari Bina were given over to Moshe Benu, Shenemar, Vatichasreu, Maat, Melukim, that he was missing just a little bit of Hashem, that last 50th Bina that Shlomo Melech was Zocha to see himself, that Moshe wasn't Zocha, that's all he was missing, but the other 49 he was able to understand, so we see clearly he was a Chacham. And finally, he was an Anav, he was a humble, Dechsev Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od, he was of the most humble people who ever lived on this planet. So those are the 4 qualities Moshe Benu had. And such an individual, if he gets these 4 qualities, will be Zocha to have the Kadosh Baruch Hu's rest the Shechina on top of him. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So by the way, just to understand these few points, certainly Anivas and the Chachma, we understand why these are 2 prerequisites. The Ashiris and the Gvura is not as easy to understand. We find such a concept though when it comes to
It's an outcome. It's an automatic outcome if you have the other 2 attributes.
No, that's not true. It seems like it's a prerequisite. In order to get the Shechina, you need...
That's why it's strange with Ashiris, because it was clear it was after.
Right.
Because it was the second time around with the Lishbos.
Yeah.
He's been a Navi for years
already. Oh, that's true. So it was the second time around also. Uh-huh. That's a good point. Very good point. So does anybody make such a comment?
What was the comment?
That the fact that he was rich only came at the second luchos, when he chiseled it out on his own, and only after the Shekhinah was there already. What about the first luchos? What about before this? So Ashiris doesn't seem to be a prerequisite. It was a result, maybe what you were saying, but doesn't seem to fit in. The Gemara sounds like it's only if you have that quality to start off with.
If Hashem is with you, you have it all.
What?
If Hashem is within you, you have it all.
That's also true. That's a question. Yeah, the Mishnah, the Hagos Yavit asked this question. How is it possible? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shekhinah was shown Moshe Rabbeinu way before the Psilas Aluchos or Shnios. So he quotes a Rashi and Chumash, and it seems like Parshas Kisisa, Shmos Lamadala, I think it's Kisisa, these Parshios of the Luchos, that he had Nishmar Bekushizah, he had already been careful in watching over from this, dealing with this question. So it says that the Psulasan Shaluchos Nisasher Moshe Harbe. He became increasingly he became richer. Meaning he already was rich. This made him further. That's what Rashi says.
But isn't it Stira? Because it says somewhere else in the Gemara, I do not remember where, that Afilu Echad Shelomed Shechinaimu.
Yeah, so you have to figure out what this means exactly. So in terms of that quality, it's a great, great point. We find many examples. It might be the intensity and the magnitude of the Shechina. Right. So the difficulty with this answer is, though, that the Pashas of the Gemara is that he wasn't rich until he got the Psulos. So the Yaves himself answers, yes, Einachanami, the Ikra Ashiris came about through the Psulosan of the Luchos. But that Ashiris means here, Bedas. She'ein ani va'ashir ela bedas.
Or even kol asaram yisrael shechina b'nehem.
Right, that shirosa, right. So the different levels, I guess that's what the Gemara is saying. So it says anybody who has das, how much it means das in the Chabad sense, in the sphere sense of das, or just das, so one who has das will inevitably become wealthy. Like you were saying, it's really a result of this. It's an inevitable result. Okay. Marsha has another answer. I didn't read it. Okay. And now the other thing, we also, by the way, we see elsewhere that wealth is an important quality for certain things of Asrara, namely by Kohen Gadol also. Kohen Gadol, that he has to be greater than his brothers in terms of Chachma, in terms of beauty, in terms of wealth. And we say, let's say he has all qualities but doesn't have wealth, so all the brothers have to support him and make him wealthy to have that final quality. So that's another quality the Gemara brings down. Rashi HaTorah also brings it down, that Kohen Gadol needs that as well. In terms of a gib or gvura, I don't think gvura is a necessity when it comes to Kohen Gadol, but I believe that the Gemara Sanhedrin says that one of the qualities of a dayan is supposed to be gvura also, and if not gvura, at least says height. If a person is supposed to have this height to him when he being a dayan at a Sanhedrin, I think that's one of them. Okay, interesting that you see that sometimes these physical qualities are necessary to fit certain leadership roles. Okay, weiter. The Gemara in the last narrow line down says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Neviim Ashirim Hayu. All Neviim, all prophets were wealthy. Minolan, how do we know? Mi Moshe, Mi Shmuel, Mi Amos, Mi Yonah. From these four Neviim. Moshe Dechsev, Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nasasi. Right. I guess the same idea that. I guess you're right, yeah. So, again, Moshe Benu says, where's this pasuk found? It's so funny, it's not on my daf of Gemara here. This is more Korach? Alright, this is exactly the fight with Korach. Lo chomer echad mehem nasat, I didn't take any donkeys from you, what's your whole complaint about? Now, Ibelo Agra, if Moshe is trying to say he didn't take anything from them for free, he only bought things from them. Afuke man de shaka blo igra. Is he coming to exclude one who takes it without rent, without hiring it? That's such a person's a gazlan. Ella de afil b'agra. He didn't even buy things from them. He didn't need anything from them. He didn't, let alone he obviously didn't steal from them. But he didn't have to even pay for things. He didn't need anything. He was completely self-sufficient. So I didn't take anything. So you see from there that Moshe Rabbeinu is wealthy. Now, it's interesting that he brings a ride from here as opposed to the other one. But it's possible that
next line.
Okay. Mara says, Ella dafil b'agra. Here we go. Maybe he was just very poor and he didn't need anything. He was able to be, so it doesn't mean he's rich. That tells us that he had all the leftovers remains of the fancy rock and that he was able to chisel out from. Shmuel, Hadrei Shmuel, Dichsiv, Hineni Anav Bi, Neged Hashem, I'm humble in the face of Hashem, Veneged Mishicho, Eshur Milakachti, Vachomer Milakachti, nor I didn't take anyone's ox, I didn't take anyone's donkey. Ibechinim Lafukim on the Shaka Bechinim, is it coming to, if he took it for free, is it coming to exclude one who took it for free? El Lafil Beschar, he didn't even buy a donkey or an ox from anybody. Of course, the same question, Dilma Dani Havit, maybe he was very poor and didn't need anything. It's not a proof that he's rich. From the following pasuk, v'tshuvaso haramasa ki sham beso. So the Ramasa reference to Shmuel Hanavi from Ramasa, we always refer to him as he ki sham beso because there was his house. What does it mean? There was his house. Gemara brachos also. V'merava kol makom shahalach beso ima. Wherever he went, house was with him. So I think the Gemara brachos has really two opinions now that. One opinion says he was very wealthy. He didn't need help from anybody else. Everything, whatever he had, he always had enough to bring with him. Others said, no, he was very comfortable with whatever he had, meaning he didn't need anything. He was enough with a little stick and a bag and a pillow, and that's all he really needed. But the Gemara here is proving that he was very wealthy. He was always able to take his house and properties along with him. He had so much of it.
But there's a washir.
What?
There's a washir.
That's a different point. That's in terms
Something
of like. Right. It sounds like we're talking about real wealth, real money. The mission of us is talking about the person's state of mind, the happiness. It's possible Balei Agadah are going to say here what it means here also. It doesn't mean ashiris and wealth. I don't know. Maybe it means in simcha. But pashas is referring to real wealth. Then Amar Rava. Rava says, Gadol Mashenemar b'Shmuel Yosem Yishenemar b'Moshe. Greater that was said about Shmuel than was what was said by Moshe. Why? I didn't buy a donkey from you. I didn't need to buy one. Even with willing, he didn't rent one. So what's that saying? That even beratzon? I mean, I feel
beratzon.
Even they tried to convince him, please, I want you to. Right. I think. Right. The Gemara talks about in Brachos, I think, that anyone who's a mehane, a Talmud Chacham, something, a lot of good things about such a person. So they bring Shmuel as an example, I thought, that one individual had given him what to eat and a place to live, and he therefore had a big zechus for that. And this sounds like that Shmuel didn't take anything from anybody. You ring a bell? I hold you responsible for brachos.
It says, talking about the take-offs. That take-off to this is that take-off to this.
That was where it was, yeah?
So it says, I don't know if that's the case. There it says, take-off to hosting a Talmud Chacham in your house is a bracha.
Give an example of Shmuel. I'm talking about the Amud Beis, the big daf, Amud Beis, towards the beginning of the Masechta. I'll have to look it up. I don't remember if it's in that case, but it could be. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amos, how do we know that Amos was wealthy? Dechsiv, Ayan, Amos, Bayomer, El, I should really pronounce these words correctly. Amtsaya, it should be right?
Amatsya.
Amatsya, okay. That's where you need Ricky here. Ricky's the Bucky in Tanakh. Amatsya, right? Lo Navi Anochi, Lo Ben Navi Anochi. I am not a Navi, nor am I a son of a Navi. Ki voker anochi volish shkamim. I guess a regular person, I don't know the exact translation of those words. And the Targum Rav Yosef interpreted, Ari mari gesi ana, I am one, I am a shepherd, I lead cattle, and v'shakman li b'shefelta, and I have wood, I have a sycamore wood, I think that's what it refers to, in a very lowly way. So he's describing, even though he's trying to be humble, not a Navi, he's describing all the wealth that he has. He has cattle, he has sheep, he has very expensive wood and lumber. That's how we know he was rich. How do we know that? Yeah? Okay. So then the Gemara says, how do we know that Yonah was wealthy? Yonah was wealthy, the pasuk says, Vayitain tzcharo vayered ba. He had paid, remember he had bought a ticket to go on the ship. And he went down into the bottom of the ship. Rabbi Yochanan, Shenasan Tzchara Shel Hasfina Kula. He paid for everyone's trip. He said, everything's on me tonight, guys. So he was very wealthy. Amar Rav Rumanus, not sure if he comes up too often in Shas, Tzchara Shel Sfina, Havya Arbas Alafim Dinar Dahava. And he somehow knew that the rent of this boat was 4,000 golden dinar. A hefty price. Amar B'Yochanan, B'tchila Haya Moshe Laman Torah Mishacha Ad Shenisal B'Batana. When Moshe initially learned the Torah, he had forgotten it until it was given to him as a gift. And Moshe said, I'm giving to you, Hashem said to Moshe, I'm giving to you as a gift, that you should remember it. Shenemar, V'yitein Moshe Kichalas L'Daber Ita. When he had ceased speaking to Moshe, he gave everything over as a gift. He taught him and taught him. Moshe didn't remember. And then he had was given as a gift. This should be a tremendous mussar for us and a chizuk to us that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding and remembering everything, let alone us. Okay. The Mishnah says now on the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Aleph, Vizanes Isha, this is the Gemara had made reference to yesterday's daf, that a person who takes a neder, I cannot get hana from you. So now you want to go feed my wife and his banav and feed my children, I cannot get hana from you. So afa pi shuchai b'musonosan, even though I have a responsibility and you're doing this for me, I'm seemingly saving money by you paying for my my groceries, I'm allowed to get hana from it. Right, so the Ron explains the svara for this. You see the Ron on the bottom left. Vizan es ishav es banav. He's allowed to feed my family. Afilu k'rabananas. Even though the Rabbanan agreed to this, the b'toras mitzvah askin, and they're involved in a mitzvah here. V'lo b'toras piron shabal shechay b'bizinosein. We don't view this as paying out my debts and me getting a benefit. There's a mitzvah for me to feed my children and feed my wife. He's doing that same mitzvah, so it's an issue. It's on the it's an issue of mitzvah, not an issue of benefit. Even though I'm getting benefit from this, now I have no obligation to pay my family money and feed them. That's an incidental outcome, but that's not the direct idea of feeding the family. That's the Ron's understanding. Okay, the Mishnah says further now, but this person who I cannot get hana from may not feed my animals, whether it be a non-kosher animal, whether it be a kosher animal, that's not permitted, because the Ran says, v'lozon yazon es behemta b'tmeya b'tahora d'mehano hu mamish mipnei shemalim b'damim. There is viewed as more of a direct, there's no mitzvah, even though there's a certain mitzvah to feed animals, but the Ran is assuming there's no real direct mitzvah, it's really just paying my obligations of feeding my own animals. But why not? There is a mitzvah of feeding the animals. Yeah, very exactly. What does the pasuk say? The levamtecha, right? That you have to give the animals, and that the Gemara in Brachos and the Gemara in Gittin. Before you, exactly. The Gemara in Gittin, Gemara in Brachos tells us, actually the same daf samach on both mesechtos, that says that you have to feed your animals before you feed yourself. So there is a mitzvah. Certainly if it talks about feeding before, there's obviously a mitzvah feeding animals. So I'm not sure why it's assuming there's a mitzvah. Yeah?
Tosfos says that because you're going to benefit from the actual guf of the animal. So
uh-huh.
So fatting the animal benefits the person.
I see that.
It's an outcome.
Uh-huh. It's not the actual feeding, it's the outcome of being a plump cow now, which when you shecht, or if you needed to plow your field, it'll be more beneficial for you. The Mishnah now says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Zanes HaTameh, Aveino Zanes HaTorah. The opposite. He's allowed to feed your animal, that's Tameh, but a non-kosher animal, but may not feed your kosher animal. So I guess the idea would be that the fattening up, if it's only about shechting, let's say, for eating it, so that obviously wouldn't be relevant for a non-kosher animal, you wouldn't be eating it. So the fattening up would only be a problem for a kosher animal. One could, yeah? So Amru Lo Ma Bein Tmei LaTorah. What's the difference? Amru Lo Hu SheHaTorah Nafshel LeShemaya VeGufa Shelo. Nafshel LeShemayim. This sounds like a very deep response here. That a Beim Torah, a kosher animal, the nefesh is in Shemayim, it's for Shemayim, but the Gufa Shelo. But you own the body. So Rashi says VeGufa. Rather, the Ran says in the bottom here, VeGufa Shelo LaChila. You're going to eat the animal here. Tilkach. The Ran continues to say. We'll go back to the Mishnah in a second. You're going to benefit from fattening of the animal because you're ultimately going to eat it. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy fattier meats than the lean meats. So the fattier it is, I know animals also likes a nice fat steak. So Anyway, so the fattier is better is for you, as opposed to Tameya, a fat animal, nafsh v'guf l'shamayim. Both the guf, nefesh, and the guf are both l'shamayim. So what does that mean? The Ran says very in a very pashut way that Tameya v'nafsh v'guf l'shamayim she'ein lo ba'heter achila v'nimtz she'ein nehenu b'tftuma. It's off limits for you completely. Everything is off limits. Now, the Ran is taking a very practical approach of whether it's mutter to you or not mutter to you. I imagine there's something deeper here when we talk about a nefesh, not a neshama, but a nefesh of a behema. Nefesh is l'shamayim, a nefesh of the person. I'm sure there's something much deeper here. David, anything, any insight? You learn about this stuff a lot, no?
No.
Nefesh of Bahamas?
It's just a large, and about animals. Actually, the nefesh of Shemayim was surprised to kill him. It's Tameh. Tameh doesn't turn into Kedusha.
Right, so that is interesting. Alright, and look at the response now, yeah. Right, that's a pashup shot. That's the pshat here. But look at the response now. Amrulo, they respond back that Af hatimeya nafsha l'shmayim v'gufa shalom. No, there is a benefit that one could get from the actual goof. Even though I cannot personally eat from this, you could go ahead and sell it to a guy and feed it to your dogs. So what's the problem here, though?
So, already said that.
Right, so Rabbi, right, so he says no. He said no, also, not no, also the behemoth made also, I could benefit from a behemoth made because I could get it fat and sell it to a guy.
So it's another excuse.
You know, so
another
they're right, reason. Exactly. Yeah, the difference.
And the goy, that's the point. And the goy is makrivit.
And he could eat it, of course. He could eat the pig.
Yeah, but.
So there's a benefit, even a behemoth tamei being fat, for Yisrael. The problem is here. I don't know if anyone asked this question. There's an iser brought down Shulchan Aruch.
It's midrabanan though, right?
It's midrabanan. Pasha's midrabanan. Gemara Pesachim, right? Pasha's. It might be there is an opinion that's a deraisa. But what Adam's referring to is there's an iser of doing schara with non-kosher animals. That's what you're referring to, I assume. You can't do business. You can't own non-kosher restaurants. It becomes a shot. Let's say a person buys stock in McDonald's. McDonald's is a publicly traded company. If you buy stock in McDonald's, you're not allowed to buy stock in McDonald's. Let's say a person buys a whole... or things like that. Or let's say a person buys a whole package of stocks together.
A
whole fund. You can buy into a fund, let's say.
ETF.
ETF, I know that is. So you buy into a fund or something, you buy a whole package, and in that package you have, you know, some tech and some whatever types of funds they have, there are other types of stocks, and then within that they have some McDonald's in there. So is that going to be a problem of in terms of doing schora with? So they say, no, if you buy like a whole fund that happens to be, they get a stick of McDonald's in there, that's, you're not directly trying to buy the McDonald's one. So then you could get it as a package. It's only if you're exclusively buying the McDonald's stock, that would be a problem. So how so could the Mishnah say here that you could sell it off to the goy? There's an issur to do schar with non-kosher animals. So what Adam is suggesting that well, really it's an issur midir rabbanon. Maybe this is before the issur midir rabbanon. Maybe that's what.
It doesn't even sound like. Is it issur midir rabbanon or is it?
It's issur midir rabbanon. Yeah, the Gemara Pesachim. Yeah, I think it quotes a pasuk, and I think the Gemara concludes it's an esmach to ba'alma. Maybe. I think so.
But maybe it's not considered. I mean, if you just have one. One
isolated sale is okay, but it's not a business. Only if you're selling multiple ones. Okay, let's see, there's a long run here. Not that long, but.
Not about this.
Not this topic. Okay, alright. Stop my question. Let's go weiter. The Gemara now says, Amar of Yitzchak Bar Chanina. Tananya. A person who cannot get hana from somebody still may marry this guy's daughter. So, Habiba Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir is wondering about this statement of Rav Huna. But Maiskina, what are we dealing with here? If it's where the property of the father-in-law is usher to the son-in-law, Hare Mosilol Shivcha L'Shamsho. so he could give over his shivcha to serve him. So why is it mutter? I mean, we're saying that the wife, the kala, is going to be... Oh, so yes, what's the problem here? Reviewing the kala, I guess, as the property of the father. Right, so the Ron explains here, we're talking about the kasaka daitach, the bebito nara askinan, where she is under the control of her father. She's considered his property, so he may not give her over to him while she's a nara murasa, and nara rather, and he can't get her nara, so there's an easy way to get around it. Just give her shivcha, just here's a slave, a servant to help do all the work around the house until she becomes independent. So that wouldn't forbid them from getting married. So I'm sorry, oh. Okay. We're trying to say why we'd be mutter. Okay, I'm sorry. It's a situation where we're giving house to mutter because, in essence, the father is giving his own daughter to be like a shivcha. Now, we shouldn't view our wives like this, obviously, but the Gemara is saying to give the daughter to be as a shivcha to this man to serve him. That can't be mutter. Why is that mutter? That's going to be completely usher if the father-in-law's property is usher to the son-in-law. So that can't be the case. Ella, the scenario must be, says the Gemara, b'nichse chasan asurun al avikala, where the property of the son-in-law is going to be prohibited to the father-in-law. And that's when it's mutter, because there's no hana that the father-in-law is getting from him handing his daughter over to this man. And Gdolim Yizul, greater than this, Amru, they said, Zon es isho ves banav v'afal pi shehu chai b'mizan osan, that a person could feed his wife and children, even though I'm saving the husband of having to feed his own family, and he can't get hana from me, that's still mutter. That amris mutter l'hasi l'bito, and you're saying that's mutter to marry the daughter.
It's obvious because she's not dependent on the father anymore. There's no help the chassan's going to do for the father.
So if I could pay for his children when they're living with him, certainly I could pay for them when they're not living with him anymore. It's certainly going to be mutter. So there's no chiddush in that. So the olam b'shenichse avi kala asur na l'chassan. Really, the scenario is where the property of the father-in-law is asur to the son-in-law. I'm referring to a case where she's grown up already, she's above the age of 12, and 12 and a half, and she is now on her own, she got married. So, what's the chiddush there? If she's independent. So, before we said if she's a nara, so it's awesome because he can't give her over, but when she's a bogeris, that seems to be just as obvious to me. So let's see what the Ron says. The Ran says, let's go to Gdolim Yizul, around six narrow lines up. Gdolim Yizul Amru. Actually, we don't need that one. Let's go to the first Y line down. Ubebito Bogeres, Delo Ihu Kamasa La Ela Ihiatma. The father's not handing her over. She's on her own, independently, being willingly getting married to this guy. Ubendaita Taima Kayav Lamilsa. Here the Gemara gives the reasoning. Kalamar Mishum Hachi Shari Deha Midaita He. The reason why it's permitted, because she acted on her own. The Chavin Shibogra Shub Ein Lavia Rishizba. So once she's matured, the father has no rights. So again, that seems obvious to me. But inami, alternatively, the Ran suggests ki kamar midaita. What it means midaita lamute daita dechasan, not the das of the chasan, but her own das. Shim aso shliach ledavar ima ledabi ima liskei nisuin aser dehakan mahanile. That if he appoints an agent to speak to her on the topic of nisuin, it's aser because he's getting hana from him. What's that last? I'm not sure what that last line is saying here.
The Rush says about this, that it's talking about where the father gave her advice, you know, marry this guy, it's a good idea, and she didn't disregard his advice. She accepted her father's advice, so.
But still, what was the Hana there, though? What would the having to be of the Isra Hana?
She's following her father's instructions. Yeah, she has her own. She has her own discretion, but
certainly the Rush is troubled by that. He's trying to fit in why there's, but the Misitzeg doesn't really explain anything. Anything in the article of what the Havmi is to think that one couldn't marry a girl who's independent and her father's property is
also. They also gave up.
They also gave up.
So it's also something else.
It just says the same.
Somewhere in there. Like the fact that she's taking his advice.
So the Miri says something here. The Miri says that even if the father is giving in a dunya, some type of dowry, it's still mutter. That makes so. That's the case here. In terms of the marriage itself,
the daughter, it's considered as if it's the daughter's. He's not really giving it to the son-in-law.
Right, because that would be the answer. But the hatman is, since it's coming from the father-in-law, there's room to think maybe he shouldn't be able to get the dowry. But in terms of the actual marriage, so that I don't get that so much, why that would be a hatman to think would be usur. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says further. What? Say again?
We do not understand
everything. We certainly cannot understand everything. So the Gemara says now, more than halfway down the page here, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Hamadir ed Beno Talmud Torah, Mutir Lamalos Lachavish Shamayim Lhalik Lesaner. Person takes a neder that his son should be learning Torah. What's the nature of this?
Oh, did I? It was just 2 lines, the same thing.
May as well, Tani Nami Hachi Hamoder Hanam Mechavero. Person says, I can't get enough from a certain individual. Asr lahasi labito, he cannot marry his daughter. Aval masio baito bilgaris midaita. But if she is matured, and then and she's willing to on her own, then he may marry her. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Hamadir Bino L'Talmud Torah. Person makes a nether for a son to learn Torah. So what does that mean? So the Ron explains, 3 wide lines down, Hamadir Bino L'Talmud Torah. Ha'av hediru, shelo yana aviv mimenu kidei shelo yizbato mitalmud Torah. The father makes a nether that he should not shelo yana aviv mimenu.
Don't serve me. Go learn Torah.
So I said, I cannot benefit from you, in order that you should go learn and not have to waste your time. Be fascinating. So the son in essence is exempt from kibra ve'im. So despite that being the case, the Rabbi Yaakov says, Mutu lamalos lo chavish shemayim ulhalik nosaner. Still, the son is allowed to fill up a jug of water and light candles for him. So the Ron explains here, Mutter haben lemalos lo aviv chavish shemayim ulhalik lo esaner. The mistama mimele zutre from small matters such as these, kihani like these, the leka behu bitul limitor, lo adrai. So is that a bit to go fill up the pitcher to go put in a new Poland spring in the water thing is not going to be such a tircha. To go light a candle, turn the lights on is not going to be a tircha. Seemingly the father didn't have that in mind. V'halchi muchach, Ron continues, this is clear. Hai perusha b'tosefta b'becharos, in the end of Mesechus Becharos. T'tani ma'isa b'echad shehirtza b'no l'tam t'ara. Person was here to probably be shehir, hidra or something. I have a gear to change here. Shehikta. That he had hiksa, like Lashem Muksa, he had designated it, he had set forward that Benola Talmud Torah, had put his son on the path of Talmud Torah, v'hidiru milasa malacha, and said, you can't do any malacha for me, v'hitya lo yosip Rebbe, l'malos l'chav ha-shamayim l'halak l'osaner. So it's a clear tosefta that proves the point of Rebbe Yaakov here. And the Yushalmi says, Maseches Bikurim, Maseches Bikurim here, Tani Hamadis Benola Talmud Torah Mudir Lamalas Lo Chavish Shemayim Lahalik Nosaneh. Like we said, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Aflikach Lo Chafatzim Nashuk. Even to go pick up some items from the grocery store for him is also permitted. Mal Pligin, what's the machlokas? Kan Beisha. One's a man, one's a woman.
Meaning the mother to the son and the father to the son.
Yeah, I'm wondering, or the son and the daughter. Let's see.
It's not the daughter doesn't
look. Yeah. Her. So let's see. In the, he continues. Im haya adam misuyim asu es osak isha. Klomar the isha v'adam misuyim ein darchel mikach chafatim min hashuk v'anan tzadi dadaita d'hachi lo adrei. If the parents, I guess, are individuals who don't go out to the shuk, they always stay home. They're too old or whatever the issue might be. Then seemingly they didn't have in mind to forbid their son from going to the shuk to get things for them. Aval ish sheinu misuyim ki gamin shadarcho leilech b'shuk afi b'hani adrei. Person is comfortable going to the shuk, whatever the case might be. And then, seemingly, when he created the nether, he even included the issue of going to the shuk to go grocery shopping. Okay, says the Gemara. Further, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Litzalos Lo Dag Katan. Even to roast a small fish, and the Gemara talked about how small fish cook quite easily. That relevant to Hilchos Shabbos halachos, the Mishnah about Shabbos about that case, that even rubbing some warm water on fish might actually cook it. So something small like that, which cooks pretty quickly, is not considered a bittel zman and it can be done as well. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamodeh Hanah Mechaveh, Yomotu Lehashkos Kos Shel Shalom. A person who cannot get Hanah from someone, he can still pour him a glass of peace. Mind you, what does kosher shalom mean? Halacha Targime, what it means is kosher beis ha'avel. It's a kos that's found in the house of mourning. So the Ron explains here, mutl hashkos lo kosher shalom, kolomer mutl l'shamsha b'kosher beis avel. You could serve him in the beis avel. Yes, that's not considered hana. Inami shabeis merchas. The Gemara says b'marava, what it means in the West, they say it means kosher beis merchas. One refers to kosher beis avel, one means kosher beis merchas. So the Ron continues to explain, inami shabeis merchas, that the cup that appeared in the bathhouse, mipnei darcha shalom, shea darcha b'kach. Again, I don't know exactly what took place there, but that was permitted because that was considered darcha shalom.
After you're sweating, so you get some water.
Uh-huh. Drink some water. Stay hydrated. It's a hot place there. You're sweating off. Stay hydrated. Okay. That's a nice thing to pass him a glass of water. And the kosher beis avel, I'm not sure exactly what exactly that was.
It's not an arm. You serve
him. Let him drink. Just stop a drink.
Shalom.
It's not like a special kosher shalom. It seems like there's a special kosher shalom actually that it refers to here. Giving a glass of wine, kosher shalom. I'm not familiar. Anyway, these two are permitted. Velo yazin es behem to bein v'chule. A person is not allowed to, however, feed the animals. If there's an isra na, you cannot feed the animals bein tmeya bein tahora. But then Rabbi Eliezer thought there was a distinction. You can feed the behemoth tmeya because there's no benefit from a fat behemoth tmeya, but you may not feed the behemoth Torah since there is a benefit from a fatty kosher meat. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanya Yeshua Ish Uza, Omer Zon Avada V'Shivchos of HaKananim. He also, even though there's an Isra Na, he also may feed the servants of the individual, V'lo Yazin Es Behem To Bein Tmeya Bein Torah, but may not feed the animals any type. My time, what's the reasoning? Avada V'Shivchos of HaKananim, Limnachusa Avidan, Behema Liftuma Avida. Because the servants are being fed Limnachusa. What does that mean?
Clean the house.
To clean. Aha. So they clean the house. You still look at the Ron here. The Ron says that Safadaves Shivchos of Akananim, the last few lines of the Ron, nearly the Bimizonos Yeserim Kamar, extra, the surplus, the Adirabi Elezer Kai, the Halchi Kamar. Hoshar Yusa the Shari Rabalazar Behemoth Tamea, that heter he has to feed the fatty non-kosher animals, hainu bezonos yisarim, extra food, kemoshi parashi mishraseinu lesa, is not true. Da'afil behemet temeya, leftumei avida lemocha lo avdichu chavim. Ava ba'avada v'shifchos av ha'kananem miya isa, one can feed these individuals, the inu limnakrusa avidan, kolomer linnaker bais, like you just said, letashmish bilvad, to clean the house, to work in the house, to serve the babais, and that's... He doesn't need them.
That's lemonacrous.
Meaning giving extra is bad, because then they're going to be lazy.
They'll be lazy and lethargic. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Argus is lemonacrous.
Right, that's the next one. V'ikid agarsi lemonacrous. So the next Ron says, kolomer she'en omdin l'achila ela nechir alma. They're not fit for eating. She'kshen matin u'menichen osan v'ein adam ochlan. Sorry, she'kshen mason menichen osan v'ein adam ochlan.
When they die, you don't eat them like an animal. So, therefore, you can feed them. There's no enough.
You're not fattening them up to eat. You're not shechting an evet to eat the evet. So, there's no concern of fattening them up. There's no benefit for them. And the first shot is, no, it actually makes it worse. They're not going to serve properly if they're too fat. And
it's nechira.
Nechira is the Gemara in Chulin talks about nechira in the Midbar. They didn't have shechita until afterwards. So nechira, they were just a certain way of killing. I think that's what it's referring to.
So that's what it means? So nechira, yeah. Meaning that type of...
I think so.
Tearing out their throats?
Yeah, let's see. What does it say there? It's all English there.
This is like euthanasia, right?
Yeah, it says, kibemos nechuros harugos. Yeah, animals that just died. But nechira, it's actually...
So nechira is an act of killing, right? So. That's the thing, animals killing.
It's an act of killing, yeah.
Here. It's like rip out its guts,
Nechira. I don't know exactly what, I'm not sure exactly the Maisa, but it's interesting, relevant to the 9 days that's coming up. Rav Yosef Engel has an interesting Shaila. That Nechira was mut in the Midbar, but once you enter into the Eretz Yisrael, Nechira is Aser. So what happens, let's say, you have the meat that was Nechnochur, whatever the past tense was, you killed it properly in the Midbar, but now you have leftover meat, you bring it to Eretz Yisrael. May you eat that meat now, even though you're in Eretz Yisrael, is the Nechira still mutter, since you did Nechira in a moment when it was mutter. So he connects it to the 9 days.
Seems to be from here, from the answer of the Nechira, is that you not eat.
No, you can't eat it. No, in the Midbar, you're allowed to eat it. So let's say I did Nechira in the Midbar. properly. I left over meat now, of Nechir meat. I enter Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, can I eat that left, were they able to eat that leftover meat that was Nechir, but now they're in Eretz Yisrael? The meat's already dead, it's already been killed. So he has it. What?
Probably fresh too.
Good, it depends how long. I remember the Gemara asks this question, and based on this Gemara, Rav Yosef Enkel wants to say the same thing by meat during the 9 days. You had meat that was shechted before the 9 days, it was mutter. Now you enter into the 9 days, can one eat that meat? Because it was shechted, at the time it was shechted, it was okay to shecht it. So I think he has some connection about this. What?
I don't see the connection at all.
No, it's the chefetz. The chefetz is not enough.
Yeah, the 9 days is a different study. It's about the zman when you eat it. It's, the shayla here is about whether the thing itself has a certain... whether there was a tara, if there was a tara that was embedded into it.
Right. I have to look it up. I'm not remembering the exact question. I have to look it up. I'll take a look now.
But. You have like a Mishnah Yisrael Kala, yes.